Wake up, it's warm outside. Time to wake up.
Broadcasting live from the Central City Radio Studios, it's the Jacqueline Nicole Show. With your host, Jacqueline Nicole, on King FM, a Central City radio station.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Jack and Nicole Show. I'm so excited that you guys have been tracking with me and my guests for the last several weeks. And today, I have a super special guest and one of my really good friends. Her name is Michelle. And so we are going to be talking a little bit today about eating and health and some of the struggles that we had growing up. But before we get into that, Michelle, would you like to share with the guests a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, I am Michelle, Arizona native, one of the few. I've known Jacqueline for many years now. I'm excited to be on her show. Big fan of tacos, love dinos, kind of simple. Add Jesus into the mix and you kind of get me. Creative, unique, quirky, that's who I am, I would say. That's who God created me to be.
Who doesn't like tacos? Because I love tacos. Right? I mean, everybody loves tacos. Okay, so, which is a great topic, actually, since we're going to be talking about food. If you guys have remembered in some of the previous episodes when I was talking with my guests a little bit, I did mention that in high school I had struggled with an eating disorder, and so that kind of looked a little bit different in different stages of my life, but it did kind of affect me once I got out of high school and I was in college, getting out of college, and it kind of looked a little bit different. So in high school I used to struggle a lot with my weight because I did track and field, and so I was like super self-conscious if I was going to put on weight for track. And so I just remember having this like pressure, like I need to perform, I need to be at my best. And it's so easy, I feel like, for young women. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are, it could be young or older women, we could all struggle with our body image. But I think especially when you're younger and you don't know who your identity in Christ is, you don't know your worth and your value.
Absolutely.
You could really sum up your worth in like your body image or how you appear to other people. And so I remember when I was in high school, if I felt like I ate too much that day, or if I was just feeling like really shameful, or I would look in the mirror and I would feel ugly and worthless, like I would make myself throw up. And I think it went off and on maybe for like, I can't remember too much. It was like 6 months to a year. And I remember my mom and one of my good friends, they had caught me at two separate times and I had denied it at first. And I just knew in my heart that it was wrong and I was asking God for help. And even though I eventually like stopped doing that, things would just kind of like come out. The eating disorder would come out in different things. So if I wasn't doing that, I would put either like crazy diet restrictions on how I would eat, or when I got older, it was like I didn't care about the weight anymore and I didn't even care about what I looked like. I would actually go to food for comfort, or then I started overeating just to like mask feelings and emotions. And that one I feel like stood with me a lot longer as I got older. And so that was something that God really had to deal with me about, is to go to Him instead of food for a comfort. You know, so anyways, if you wanted to share with our guests, like, your own journey and how that looked like, and then we will just take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So how it all started for me was, well, growing up, I was always the girl that was a little bit bigger than everyone else. Like, I was always the one that, you know, the guys would pick my friend, and I'd always associate it with, oh, okay, because they're skinny, they're beautiful, they're smaller than me. And growing up, I was kind of like, I was different, and I know that now that's a good thing to be different. I was sometimes more quiet, sometimes I was more loud, just depending on my comfortability with who I was with. And so I had all of that going on, and then I guess what really happened was I just didn't understand why I was the way I was, and that kind of opened up a door for things to transpire later on in my 20s. And that's when this whole thing really came to fruition. I mean, it had been there, I'll be honest, I think if I was honest with myself, it had like been like dormant and like slowly building as a kid, because there's certain things I would do to try to like, you know, I'd follow the the fads and the trends, or if I had my friend tell me, oh, like, you'll lose weight if you do like this, and I kind of was like, it was there, but I think it was dormant to myself, mm-hmm. Awareness wise. And like, I still even remember like prom, like I really wanted to go to prom, and because of my size, this is back in the 90s, like they did, well, yeah, 90s, early 2000s, they didn't really have things for plus size women. And so I was like devastated. Like at the time, I mean, my mom did the best she could. We found like this dress, it was like a Chinese dress. Like it looked like, it wasn't anything like you dreamed of to wear to prom, but it's what I could fit in and it's what I had. And so like, that was kind of that. And I'm like, okay. But really like what the catalyst was like for all of this just to kind of like happen was growing up in church, nobody ever really speaks about like, well, I can't say nowadays, but back then I was never really around an environment where, I don't like saying this word because I feel like it's a trigger word for some people, but mm-hmm. nobody really ever talks about sexual abuse mm-hmm. and what that looks like and how that affects people. And like, nobody really spoke about it, and it's not my mom's fault, it's not my dad's fault, it's not anyone's fault. It was just a topic that really wasn't broached.
Right.
Because,
right.
like, you know, we obviously talk about purity, we talk about, like, how, you know, we're supposed to wait till marriage, we talk about all of those things, but nobody talks about, like, the dark side mm-hmm. of what can happen or how to prepare yourself to, like, if something does happen.
Right.
Like, so nobody really brings that to the light. And so, in my early 20s, I found myself in a situation that I wasn't prepared for. And, you know, my mom was like, gave me cautious. I met somebody online. My mom kind of gave me the caution. Like, oh, no, he's fine. Like, he said all the right things. Like, he knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he did what he did. And I, at that point, that's when I, like, lost myself, like, completely, like, all the stuff from my childhood, from everything from my teenage years, like, all that kind of, like, came in that one moment, and I broke. But the thing of it was, I didn't realize I broke in that moment, because, again, they were very well-versed, they knew what to say, like, in my mind, I should be fighting this person, like, and I was, at the time, fighting for the person. And even in healing, I went back, like, well, I could have got the pink lamp, I could have had this, I could have had all these different things. And, like, you try to, like, find a way to, like, self-justification, like, you know, like, I should have done this, I should have done that, I could have been this, I could have done that, like, and then even just, like, for the things that transpired, like, I even went to a counselor, and, like, the counselor said, oh, you're going to go through a promiscuous phase, you're going to have all these things happen. And I was in that stage because I lost that control. And I was in that stage, and that brought like the craziest time of my life with like 10 years. I would say less than 10 years. Like, I went through things that no person should have gone through, you know, fighting for my life a couple different times, mm-hmm. you know, like having to go to court to file documents for a stalker, like all these different things because of that one moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like in of it, because when you go back to it, the root of it, I was like, okay, well, God doesn't love me anymore. Like, that's it, you know? And before that, on top of that, I had actually broken that promise with God with my first relationship, mm-hmm. again, because I was talked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, now this happened. Now I'm not a value anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, the counselor says I'm going to go through a promiscuous phase. She gave me permission. That's what I felt like in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I got permission, but I had like lined up of all these different things, and I was just out of control. I wasn't taking care of my body. I got into some really dark places. And then when you're in this dark place, like, you want to find like that light, that savior, that thing. And I had Jesus, and I was going to church through the midst of this, and I was going through, you know, but I really wasn't like aware of what was going on, like behind the subconscious of what was all going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found what I thought was a savior, somebody that I can talk to. And when I was talking to them, like, I was realizing what hell had happened, and this person was like, oh my gosh, like, they could help me. And like, and at that point, I started to like not really eat, and I was like so focused on like, well, if I had been a certain way,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been an easier target.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what I thought in my head, was like, if I had looked a certain way,
mm-hmm.
or if I had done a certain thing, I wouldn't have been a target.
Right.
And so I had like all this in my mind, and like, So when this person came into my life, like, I was like, okay, this is what I need. And this is what I need. And they told me, like, everything I needed to hear. Like, I was at the point where I was even struggling going to the grocery store, because I was still, like, I was, like, battling this going on. And I was also battling, like, trying to, like, find control. And food became my control. Like, if I can control food, mm-hmm. I can control that. And I had this, like, perception, like, everyone could see, like, me, and everyone could see inside of me. Like, they could see, like, everything. Like I had this, like, huge scarlet letter on me. Mm-hmm. And, like, even when I go to the grocery store, like, I would have, like, I would feel, like, I feel, like, everyone, like, looking at my basket and judging and, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So they could see what I was doing. And so with all of that going on, so he came in at the perfect timing, and, like, he had, like, the right answers, and, like, he was also very broken, too, and mm-hmm. he was going through his own mess, and I was like, oh, I can help him with mm-hmm. his mess, and we can come perfectly, like, united. Obviously, that does not work.
Right, right.
It was not what was happening. And so he gave me permission to, like, really stay into that,
mm-hmm.
like, stay in the eating situation I was in. He became my, like, Band-Aid. Like, mm-hmm. he would make the meals, like, he would go grocery shopping, he would take all of that on, and, like, he would tell me, like, it's okay, like, you don't have to cook, I'll cook for you, you don't need to cook, you don't need to worry about it, you don't need to do anything like that. So, like, he gave me permission to right. stay in that. And there would be some days, like, he would come home, and I would be not eating the whole day, and I would have a headache, and I would just be miserable, and he would make sure I would eat, and, like, but then also, too, if I would eat too much, I would, like, say, okay, I need to go work this out, like, I need to go run, like, there was always, like, it was like a pendulum, like, you'd always
yeah.
be swinging.
In,
like,
your own prison.
Yeah,
right,
like,
right.
You would always be swinging, you would never have, like, the right thing. And one thing led to another, we ended up, you know, getting married. And one thing I learned about marriage is, like, you go into the recovery. So he's dealing with anxiety, he's dealing with all of this mess,
mm-hmm.
too. So I'm walking into that covering full in agreement with that.
Right.
And that also caused a lot of discord in my family. And, like, and so, like, when you're in this, like, haze. And so that's kind of, like, where I was at
mm-hmm.
with all of that. And, like, again, it's, like, nobody's fault. Like, that's, like, there's life things. Like, I mean, yes, I take ownership for
right.
the stuff I did, but, like, right. and, you know, obviously the enemy can take advantage of that, but
sure.
he's not, like, we walk into things kind of blindly, but,
right.
so all of that was happening, and so I'm, like, I'm getting deeper into it. I'm losing myself more and more. I'm fading more and more in the background, and this relationship that I walked into wasn't the best relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So now, on top of the eating issue that I was dealing with, I had gained anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, now I had been going to doctor, and he went with me to doctor, and they're like, oh, you have polycystic ovarian disease, oh, you have this, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. So then I would go to doctor, like, we went to this one doctor where, like, oh, if you get on 500 calories and
oh,
a
wow.
week, and then you take these shots,
oh my gosh,
and you'll start to lose weight, and but you need to work out this amount of time. And so, like, he was on board for all of that. And then, again, I'm not putting fault on anyone, I'm just saying this is the situation that I was in.
Right.
So, like, that's kind of long story short, he ended up leaving, and, like, he went on to another journey and kind of left me with that. So that's kind of where I was at with
right.
that journey. And but so that's kind of where I was.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying, because one, anytime we fall into any type of extreme in our life, right? So if we fall into, like, eating disorders, that always is going to stem from a lie
mm-hmm.
that brings a hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the hurt is left untreated, it can fester, it could grow, it can
yeah.
spread. And a lot of times it's like, so when the enemy, when you had suffered with the sexual abuse, the enemy
mm-hmm.
can then tell a lie to a woman, you're damaged goods.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I always want to encourage, whether you're a Christian and you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, or you're new to the faith, it's so important to know our identity in Christ and who God says that we are. Because I had gone through a relationship for 8 years too, and it was really toxic. Like, we both had our own insecurities. We both had our own things that we were dealing with, like, you know, that emotional baggage, and then trying to come together and you're both, you know, suffering in these areas, it gets worse and worse. Like, the toxic level, you know, grows up, it gets bigger. And in that, having the anxiety, that's why I would turn to food too, is like, I would use food for comfort, because I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, at least I'm not addicted to drugs and alcohol, you know, I'm not addicted to, like, prescription drugs, and no one can, like, really arrest you for eating too many cookies. It's, like, not against the law. So your mind just is like, oh, well, it's, like, not a problem. Like, I'm in control. And I can see what you're saying. It's, like, a lot of times, I think women who struggle with eating disorders, they're in it because they don't know the root cause. They don't know the root cause of their pain, because I didn't know for a really long time either why I was always going to that. And it was just like, you know, when I rededicated my heart to the Lord at 25, I did feel for like a good period of time, it was like 5 years, I felt like that had broken off of me, and I never felt like it was an issue. And I remember just about 3 years ago, when I was going through a really stressful time in my life, I guess I never like 100% dealt with it. Like, sometimes the Lord, he'll make you walk through something so you can overcome it. And once you walk through something and you overcome it, it's no longer, it doesn't have that power to like manifest anymore.
Yeah.
And when I was feeling really stressed out in that time, I was a wedding coordinator. And so there's always like amazing food. It's free. Yeah. All the desserts and the cake you want and the cannolis, it's all free because you're at a wedding, right? And that was just too tempting for me, because when I was going through the stressful time, I'm like, who's going to turn down a free cannoli? Like, you don't even have to pay for it.
Right.
And so I just found myself emotionally eating again. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, how can this happen? I love the Lord. I'm a Christian. I thought I dealt with this. And the Lord had to show me, it's like, there's certain things that we go through when we're little, or even times in our life where we're hurt. We never deal with the hurt. We just sweep it under the rug. And we can go to things, it could be a relationship, right? It could be going to sex, it could be going to food. Sometimes people do drugs and alcohol. People have whatever it is that they go to outside of God to fill that void, to bring comfort. That's why they call it comfort food. And when the Lord was showing me that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, God's our comforter, and he can fill that those hurts, and it's just really allowing him to come into our hearts, right, to fill those pain, to fill our pain. And I know how you were talking about earlier when we were having a conversation, how sometimes it's the journey, and it's not like an overnight deliverance.
Yes.
And I think that's what can get people so discouraged, is they think, oh God, my relationship with God isn't working because I'm not instantly delivered.
Yes.
So if you wanted to share a little bit about how God had showed you, it's a journey, and it's not going to be an overnight deliverance, but he gives you the faith and the confidence to walk through it.
Yes, absolutely. So, cut to marriage ends, I'm basically at ground zero, and like, that was like, it was either my choice at that time to stay where I was at and dive deeper, or step out, and it ended up where I was almost going to be homeless, and I was like, because he came back in, long story short, swept everything out, and so I didn't know where I was going to live, but God showed up, and he put me in a position in Ahwatukee where I was literally cut from all the other relationships that I had, and it was just me and my dog, and then my parents were out in Gilbert, and I drove, and I put it on my heart to drive out to Vineyard, that was one of the churches I was attending at the time, and just go there, and it was literally a gradual thing for me to do. It's been 7 years now, and I would just encourage anyone that's gone through that, like, don't think that, like, okay, so God's a gentleman. He's not gonna give you everything at once to, like, set you free. I mean, so yes, some people have the instant deliverance. They have that, like, threshold moment where they're at the foot of the you know, foot in heaven, like, it's like foot in heaven, they see everything, they have that. There's some people that do, but then there's some people that have this opportunity. I say it's an opportunity, right? Because you get to faith walk, like, you get to soil, like, work in the soil and toil through that and, like, work through it with God. And so one of the things, like, I picked up right away was that I needed to, because I had all of this background noise, I needed to refocus and put in the right noise in my head. I know it sounds silly to call it noise, but at that time, that's what I thought about the Bible and everything going on. I thought it was, like, noise. Like, I had to get some other noise. So one of the verses that I really, like, depended on was Psalms 25:5. I have it by heart, but I want to make sure I get it right. And guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all the day long. Because I linked to that verse because I didn't know how to be
right.
normal. I didn't know how to function. And right here he said, he'll teach me. I'm like, he'll teach me. I was like, okay, so everything that I've done, he's taught me. Like, step by step, he's given me the answers to where I remember sitting in the chair and, like, I was having heart palpitations and I'm like, what is going on? Like, and I'm like, maybe I needed to eat because I had low blood sugar. So I'm like sitting there eating the box of cheese. I'm like, what's going on? And they take me to the doctor and they say, oh, you have anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so they try to give me medication for that. And, like, with the medical stuff. So I'm like, okay, that I don't receive that. Like, you know, like, I didn't know about the receiving part of that, like, not to accept it. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll take the medication. But then a little, like, 2 years, like, here's, again, after I got out of the isolation 2 years later, I'm like, okay, I need to start addressing this because I was unable to walk. I was always tired. I couldn't really function. Like, I was, like, fatigued. Like, you could ask my parents. Like, I was, like, mm-hmm. I was alive, but I was, like, a walking zombie. Right. Like, there was really no animation to me. Like, I wasn't available for anyone or anything. And so God was really intentional because while I was in this zombie-like state, he was so intentional. Like, I don't even remember half the people that he brought into my life. Like, you know, just going up for prayer, like, they spoke the right words, and it was so fluid on how he did that. And he was like, okay, he gave me, like, a theme for each year. He's like, Michelle, I want you to focus on this. We're going to break through on this. We're going to break through on this. Because he knew at that point I was, like, kind of, like a little calf, like, trying to, like, walk mm-hmm. in this, like, what, how do I do this? And then on top of that, I was not really, like, I really wasn't an emotional person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was always kind of like the rock. I was always like, I would handle my emotions in the background. But because all of this had come forward, I'm like, I had to relearn what emotions were and relearn how to separate things so that way, like, I wouldn't go to food for it. I wouldn't go to not eating for it. I would have to relearn how to, like, prioritize my emotions, understand what they were. And, like, I even went to some different classes and everything like that. So one thing I did do is I asked God, I'm like, okay, what's the next step? I always would ask God, what's the next step? And granted, trust me, it took me a couple years to even trust God and even trust that and even, okay, well, he wants to take me back into the fold. Like, I'm really not that broken. And then he would just start to slowly uncover the next step for me. And the first step was choosing myself. And, like, I even tear up because, like, it still reminds me of, like, where I was. Like, I didn't choose myself mm-hmm. for the longest. Like, you know, these actions wasn't a choice for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I had to choose myself before I could love myself.
Because
mm-hmm. love is an action verb. To me, that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't love yourself until you choose yourself. And so he's like, do you choose you? I was like, what does that mean? I'm like, choose me? Like, what? Like, I'm here, like,
right.
And so I had to choose myself, and by choosing myself, I had to take the next step. I had to go to the next step, and so, again, his intentionality is so, he's so intentional,
mm-hmm.
like, he knew, like, this was, like, honestly, he knew the different paths I would take, he saw the path I took, and he's like, okay, let's get you back. So he brought the chiropractor in, and I worked with the chiropractor. The chiropractor had a person that was in the naturopathic, and I remember seeing, like, he told me where the naturopath was. I walked in. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. I walked in, walked out. I was like, no, I'm good. And I remember in that brief time, there was a prayer box, and I could not get that prayer box out of my head. And granted, when I first went with the chiropractor, he had to corral me to, like, even, like, work, because I had so much anxiety. I was, like, walking, like, around, like, the the table for him, and he's like, he had to bring me in. But he was the one that had faith, too, and, like, he would pray over me, and he would tell me that it's okay, and, like, he would, like, mm-hmm. like, kind of, like, bring me in, like, so he was, like, kind of the first doctor I kind of built the trust with, because I had so many people tell me that, like, all these different things. And so then I got up the strength, and so then I knew I needed to take care of this. So for my health, because there was something, it wasn't the fact that I had the eating issue, it was also the fact that there was something in my body that was causing me to gain weight and causing me to go out of control that I didn't know what it was.
Right.
So instead of me trying to control it, I needed to find mm-hmm. what that was so I can address it with God. And so I remember God saying, don't run, don't run. And I'm like, what does that mean? And so I took that as bring a runner. And what I mean by bring a runner is, like, so my first appointment, I had a couple ladies from the church come, and a runner to me was that they're going to stop me from running because they're coming out of their time
to hold you accountable,
to hold me accountable, to be there. And like my mom was, all these wonderful people were there for me during that time to do that. And so my doctor was like, you have this person with you, like, who's this person? Like, he just started to expect that, like, he had no idea who I was coming with. And he told him, like, this is my runner. And he's like, do I need to lock the windows? Like, I'm like, no, I will, like, claw my way out of this place. And so, like, again, it was just, anxiety was still there, and it was so prevalent. And, like, I mean, like, there was times, like, where I'm like, my heart, like, it was very, very real for me. And it wasn't that it ever, like, there was, it just slowly dissipated because of that stress and because of that walking it out. Mm-hmm. Like, there was, like, where to this year I went to the doctor, and, like, we're joking and we're talking and, like, having a conversation. I don't have my runner anymore. And there's, like, no, and I just want to encourage people, like, there's some people want that, like, definitive, like, when will this stop moment.
Right.
And that's where I was, I'm like, when is this gonna stop, God? I've been having runners for like a year and a half now, like, when is this gonna stop?
Right.
But there's really no definitive moment. It's just the matter of the fact is that you have to keep showing up.
Right.
And choosing yourself and deciding that you're worth it, even when it's so hard. And
right.
Even when you're like, there was times where I was like sweating, I had anxiety, my heart was running out of my chest, I'm like, am I dying?
Right.
Like, you're like, you feel like you're dying. And then obviously there's gonna be attacks that still come up. Like, you know, there's something with the medication that messed with my heart. And I'm like, I freaked out, and like, I almost backtracked. So it's just having that perseverance and
right.
showing up
for a battle.
Yeah.
I know, it's like, well, it brought me to one scripture that I wanted to end with. And I know it's like, this topic needs so much more time to deal with it, because we are coming close to, to ending. But you guys, I really want to encourage you, for all the guests who come on the show who are sharing their testimonies, like, you know, they want to share their heart with you guys. And I really encourage all of you to go to the Save a Life Tour, which is going to be on Friday, March 19th. It's at Living Word Ahwatukee from 7 to 10 p.m. The doors are opening at 6 p.m. And we're going to be, we're kind of giving you like these bits and pieces, these nuggets from everyone's testimony, and they're going to be doing like a continuation of that at the event, sharing their testimony, because there's so much to cover. And it's
yes.
like, I feel like we could be here for hours and do a series off of this, because this is a really sensitive subject. There's so many people in my life that I know, you know, who have battled with eating
yeah.
disorders, including myself. And
mm-hmm.
God has, it has been a journey to get through that, but it's like, when you are going through the journey and you're gaining ground and you're
mm-hmm.
getting stronger, God is more interested in changing our hearts than he is about changing the circumstances. Because when your heart is changed, certain things that used to have power and control over you no longer do. When your heart is changed, your desires change. They start to match up with God, and it no longer becomes a battle anymore. And the scripture, when you were talking about choosing yourself, it made me think of one of my favorite scriptures in Isaiah. And I just wanted to end with this because, you know, the Lord says, he who created you and he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name and you are mine. That's Isaiah 43:1. And I actually, I heard that scripture in a new light on The Chosen. And I love how you said, you know, choosing yourself in those moments where God is, you know, fighting on our behalf, but we have to partner with him. And The Chosen has actually partnered with the Save a Life Tour. If you guys have watched The Chosen, they have become a sponsor, and they were so gracious to donate a bunch of their merchandise that we can raffle away. And we're going to have some DVDs and some of their stuff because they're a huge part of spreading the gospel, and it's so nice when we can come together. Not to put you on the spot, so you don't have to, but I always like to end the episodes with a salvation prayer. Would you want to say it, or?
Yeah.
You always want to give all of the viewers an opportunity. If anything that me and my guests have been sharing with you today has just, you know, had pulled your heart, like you feel like the Lord is calling you back home, if you've never given Jesus your life, we would want to encourage you to make him your Lord and Savior. Or if, like Michelle and I, maybe you grew up knowing the Lord and there is a period of time where you feel like you fell away and you haven't been in relationship with him, we would just encourage you to rededicate your heart, like rededicate your life to the Lord and invite him back in, because he is always waiting for us with open arms.
Okay. Yeah. All right, God, we just come to you right now, God, and we just thank you for this time, God. And if those that want to just bring you into your heart, it's as simple as saying, God, you chose me, so I choose you, God. I invite you into my heart right now. I give you my heart, and I accept for everything that you've done for me and everything that you will do for me. And I just love you, God, and I just bring you into me right now. And we just say thank you for everything in your name, we pray.
For sharing your heart with me. I'm so excited you guys can hear more of the guest Michelle and the rest of the guests at the Save a Life Tour. We will see you again next time.
Bye.
That one by yourself.